And welcome to the End Time Shofar, End Time Bible Prophecy channel. Today's expose, we'll be dealing with the dark occult origins of Marvel's Doctor Strange and the Scarlet Witch. I know for a fact that I and my family were very much into watching Marvel movies, Infinity Wars, The Endgame, Iron Man, Black Panther. Even with Black Panther, I started to even kind of notice some witchcraft and some occult things, even with that. But what really started to blow my mind was the series came out on the Disney Channel, WandaVision, and we started following Wanda's journey through this town that she was living in. She was married to Vision. Just some other things and all. And it quickly turned dark where it's finally revealed that Wanda is the Scarlet Witch. And she's a practitioner of witchcraft, which really didn't know because you watch the movies, you're not so much into the comic books. The comic books go in more, a little bit more detail in regards to these characters and some of the spirituality and all. It begins become revealed. But however, we know that the movie that's coming out with Doctor Strange and the Scarlet Witch, which she will exhibit more magic and witchcraft and some other things and all. So we're here to kind of go through the dark occult origins of both Doctor Strange and the Scarlet Witch and kind of expose this because we know not just unbelievers are going to be flocking to the movie theaters to see this Doctor Strange movie, but there's going to be quite a bit of Christians that are going to be going out to view this movie and just unknowingly and ignorantly just thinking it's just entertainment where it's not. So let's move on. So first of all, let's establish what is the biblical meaning of a sorcerer or a witch. It is clear to see that the word sorcery is synonymous with magic and witchcraft as related to a supernatural states or works. We see the word sorcery or sorceries or sorcerers used several times in the Bible and in the Old Testament. We see it referred to by several variations of the Hebrew word kasef, which refers to a sorcerer, a witch, or witchcraft. The base meaning of the word means to whisper a spell, to enchant or practice witchcraft. So in essence, when we see movies such as Doctor Strange or Harry Potter, which is other things and all, it's actually programming people and prepping people for the unveiling of the Son of Perdition, which we know as the Antichrist, also the false prophet, the two beasts that will appear during the great tribulation, which is fast and coming. We see the days numbering where we'll see that manifestation. So this is just Satan's end game of evangelizing people and really instilling the spirit of Antichrist into individuals. Now here we see that the release date for the new Doctor Strange movie, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which is going to be released on May 6th of this week. So we see the different trailers and the different things that are promoting this movie, the multiverse, where it's different variations of individuals who live in different dimensions. And we saw even in Spider-Man No Way Home, this kind of introduced Spider-Man that pretty much ended my connection with watching Marvel movies and all, because Doctor Strange does spells in that. And also too, I would highly recommend a great video that was done by Good Fight Ministries called DC and Marvel Exposed, which it really exposed some of the occult origins of both, some of the DC comics and movies and some of the Marvel movies and all. So they're doing great work there. Highly recommend it. It really will enlighten you and open up your eyes, your spiritual eyes, to see that there's definitely a spiritual dynamic that's being presented in these movies. And it's definitely a agenda driven by the powers of darkness. Now, here we have just point blank with Doctor Strange. Let's go ahead and read this. Men call him Doctor Strange. Never have you known his like. It is a great pleasure and privilege for the editors of Strange Tales to present quietly, without fanfare, the first of a new series based upon a different kind of superhero. Doctor Strange is the master of black magic. So here you have Doctor Strange is a different type of superhero, and his superpowers, he's the master of black magic. But we look in the Bible and it warns us in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, which says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." So basically, this in a nutshell is calling black magic good because he's a superhero. He's a protector of humanity by protecting humanity by using the black arts and sorcery, which is his superpower, as a hero, but it's calling it good. And then on the flip side, when you try to say that being within holding Judeo-Christianity beliefs and practices are evil, but this is good. This is how Satan is really prepping people for these end times and these last days. So we see this just based on the introduction of his character. There's nothing good about black magic, which we'll get a little bit more into in this expose. Now, we also know that not only Doctor Strange is a practitioner of black magic, he's known as a sorcerer supreme. So we see that Doctor Strange, he's Earth's sorcerer supreme. Doctor Strange wields arcane spells and mystical artifacts to defend the planet against malevolent threats. So here we see that he uses spells and the mystical artifacts to defend the planet. So we see this throughout even some of the Marvel movies. Initially introduced, I believe, 2016, when the first Doctor Strange Marvel movie came out, that introduced him into the MCU universe. And then we see Doctor Strange being presented in some of the Thor movies, one of the Thor movies. Then we see Doctor Strange is in Infinity Wars, and then towards the end game, but we see him wielding these powers and being celebrated as a hero. We must be able to define the definition of what is black magic. Black magic is used for evil purposes, witchcraft, sorcery, contrasted with white magic, which we'll look a little bit more. There's no difference between white or black magic. It's one and the same. But black magic has traditionally referred to the use of supernatural powers or magic for evil and selfish purposes, or magic associated with the devil or other evil spirits. So you see Doctor Strange is able to invoke different spirits. Even when you watch the Disney series of What If, and one of the episodes with Doctor Strange, he loses his love of his life. So he's trying to resurrect her, bring her back. So he's trying to obtain all this demonic power. He's absorbing all these demonic beings to increase his magical power, and is showing him being possessed by demons. This even goes back when you look in the book of Revelation, when it talks about the two beasts being empowered by demonic powers or satanic powers. They're able to work lying signs and wonders. This is a point of reference of some of Doctor Strange's source of his power, and his black magic is through demonic spirits. When we look, the true essence of what Satanists and Wiccans say about white and black magic: white magic is supposedly utilized only for good or unselfish purposes, and black magic, we are told, is used only for selfish or evil reasons. Satanism draws no such dividing line. So this is Anton LaVey writing in the Satanic Bible. He said there's no dividing lines. There's no difference between white and black magic, except in the smug hypocrisy, guilt-ridden righteousness, and self-deceit of the white magician himself. So this is the founder of the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, stating there's no difference at all between white or black magic. It's all one and the same. It all comes from the same source. Here we want to look at one of the movie posters here that's promoting Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which we see some cult symbolism here, but we see one half of Doctor Strange and half of the Scarlet Witch or Wanda, and they're meditating. And this is a little subtle symbol of the Baphomet, which we look at the Baphomet. It's androgyny. So this movie poster is promoting androgyny. So even with the Baphomet, we see the female breast, but we see it has male parts also too. And it's very much rooted in androgyny and other things, and being the beast and other stuff. So we see the symbolism there. Now we also see where with the Scarlet Witch and Doctor Strange, they draw their power. Most of their power comes from their hands. Now, when we look at prolific Freemason and occult writer Manly P. Hall in his writings, The Lost Keys of Freemasonry, on page 78, this is what he states about Masons and the power within that's comes from, or the energy that comes from the hands. This is what Hall states. He says, when the Mason learns that the key is the proper application of the dynamo of the living power, he has learned the mystery of his craft. The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands. So the seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands. So once a Mason learns the proper application of the living power, the seething energies that comes from his hands, the source is from Lucifer. So when we're looking at both Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch, we see that power seize from their actual hands. So we must take a note of that. Let's begin to dive into the actual background of the creation of Doctor Strange and the Scarlet Witch. Originally, the Doctor Strange, the American comic book superhero, was created for Marvel comic books by Stan Lee, no other than Stan Lee, and the artist Steve Ditko. So both Steve Ditko. Ditko was pretty much the artist. Stan Lee was the writer. So Stan Lee created a lot of these characters. So in the mindset of Stan Lee, which he made a lot of cameo appearances in a lot of these movies. This man promoted a lot of evil things, which we already read in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. He presented evil as good, and people end up buying a lot of the comic books and begin to watch a lot of the Marvel cartoons and just other things and all that he put out in the world. It really infiltrated a lot of homes and just other things and all. But during the first 2 years, the proto psychedelic art of Steve Ditko transported Dr. Strange through an imaginative, interconnected cosmic universe, while the superhero bested numerous extra-dimensional beasts with the powers of Bavlansky, Mata Hamas, with astral projection, levitation, hypnotic, and mind control. So, Ditko interjected in his art a lot of H.P. Bavlansky, theosophical writings and other stuff, and philosophies with astral projections, levitation, hypnotic, and mind control. As Strange entered into increasingly complex alternate realities, the audience demographic expanded in an equally complex manner. It was no longer just children and teenagers who accompanied Lee and Ditko. As they soared through the alternative realities that usually looked unlike anything else in the medium, Steve Ditko contributed some of his most surrealistic work to the comic book and gave it a disordering, hallucinogenic quality. Dr. Strange remarkably predicted the youth counterculture's fascination with Eastern mysticism, psychedelia, an audience seeking a challenge or alternatives to a more conventional superhero fare. So the origins of Dr. Strange started coming about during the counterculture revolution that took place in the 1960s, where you saw the change and music became more rebellious. You saw the promotion of illicit immoral sex and drugs through the profit of psychedelic drugs and the use of drugs. Former Harvard professor Timothy Leary led that anti-Christ prophetic movement of psychedelic drugs. His mentor, Aldous Huxley, which mentored him, really introduced this into the 1960s. Primarily their main end game was the destruction of Judeo-Christianity and the means of introducing drugs that people would turn to pagan occult religious practices, which they were very much successful in doing so. So we see Dr. Strange stories of the 1960s constructed a cohesive cosmology that would have thrilled any self-respecting theosophist, college students' minds freshly opened by psychedelic experiences and Eastern mysticism, read Ditko and Lee's Dr. Strange stories with the belief of a recent Hare Krishna convert. So this comic book was being used as a occult Bible or evangelistic to reach people into Eastern religion and divorcing themselves from Judeo-Christianity practices and gravitating to occult pagan practices and the use of psychedelic drugs and using mind expansion drugs to incorporate that. We also see Dr. Strange had a profound effect on rock music. In 1965, 2 years after Lee Ditko first introduced Dr. Strange, rock band Jefferson Airplane headlined a tribute to Dr. Strange concert in Hyde, Ashburg, and Tom Wolfe's semi-book, Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test, Ken Kesey and Mary Prankster read the comic serial, and they journeyed across the country passing out LSD. Its strange popularity with the hippie movement was ever in doubt, it became indisputable fact once Pink Floyd referenced the Sorcerer Supreme in a song they claimed was about the nightmare regarding the myth of eternity, Pink Floyd's 1969 song, Sibylline. Now we see that Stan Lee is also the creator of the Scarlet Witch, along with Jack Kirby. Her main ability during the time when they first created the Scarlet Witch, or Wanda Maximoff, her main ability was vaguely defined as hex power that could cause random, unlikely things to affect her enemies or other targets, often in the form of bad luck. These effects could be unpredictable, however, and thus not always helpful to Wanda. The vague and unpredictable nature of her power meant Wanda can use her ability in a variety of ways that help the plot, but also meant she can easily solve all her problems. Despite the character's name, the Scarlet Witch powers stem not from witchcraft or magic, but from being a mutant who can affect probability, and later stories gave her increased control, allowing her to release targeted hex bolts that could cause the enemy weapons to backfire, their abilities to fail, or the area around them to suffer sudden damage or instability. Eventually, she also became adept at casting energy blasts that could directly stun opponents. She later realized her hex bolts are the most basic use of chaos magic. So when Stan Lee and Kirby created the Scarlet Witch, pretty much her powers weren't a result of witchcraft. It was more or less in regards to her mutant powers, but we soon will see that both her and Doctor Strange, both characters dramatically change and become more entrenched in occult powers and the promotion of the occult, which we'll soon see. Steve Englehart is the one that reshaped both Doctor Strange and the Scarlet Witch. He added an extreme amount of occult influence in both comics once he became the lead writer for Doctor Strange and the Scarlet Witch. At one point, Doctor Strange comic was ready to be canceled, so Marvel's editors Roy Thomas handed Doctor Strange series to Englehart and his partner Frank Bruner in an attempt to reinvigorate sales. So once Doctor Strange was about ready to be canceled, no longer in existence, but Marvel hired Englehart and his sidekick, his partner Frank Bruner, to help kind of revive sales with Doctor Strange, which we'll soon see some of the methods, some of the things that both these guys partner into, to pretty much seeing what we see Doctor Strange as of this day. Englehart and Bruner were both self-identified members of the San Francisco counterculture, and each proudly confirmed the industry-wide rumors concerning their extensive use of LSD for this creative team. The comic book character was more than merely an opportunity to create different characters. It was an opportunity to utilize a popular culture medium to challenge traditional American values and deeply entrenched religious beliefs. So they pretty much use this as a way to change, to counter traditional religious beliefs and introduce Eastern mysticism and psychedelic drugs, mind expansion drugs, and other things into this. Bruner writes, "I readily confess I have been reading Carlos Castaneda, The Lesson of Don Juan, and was excited about this never before having been presented in pop culture comics. In Castaneda's book, Don Juan was some sort of native shaman and font of forgotten mystic wisdom. And yes, drugs were involved, but that's all I'm saying about that. If you want to know more, read the books." So here we see Bruner promoting a book that promotes the occult and drugs. We know, like, if you study shamanism and other things and all, one of the methods that they use to get in contact with the spirit world is the use of drugs. We've seen recently with Megan Fox and her fiance, Machine Gun Kelly, travel down to the Amazons and partake in a ritual practice with a shaman taking ayahuasca, where they take these spiritual trips and other things and all. This is in context of what Bruner is talking about. So Solomon said this in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. We see that Eagle Heart takes it to another level. He becomes an actual practitioner of magic. Anytime you see magic with a K, that's sure enough a person that is deeply involved in the practice of magic. When hired as chief plotter, Eagle Heart enthusiastically furthered his knowledge of occultism that those before him, especially Lee, had haphazardly mimicked. Engelhart began actually practicing occult magic in the emphasis on K, and a few issues after that, he quite seriously claimed that writing Dr. Strange had become a spiritual practice. When I wrote Dr. Strange, I had the same goal of showing you magic, but the words I had to convey the man Steven. When I wrote Avengers or Captain America, magic was part of their universe, but they dealt with it. They didn't master it. Dr. Strange mastered it. And I, on one very true level, was Dr. Strange. Once I agreed to write this series, and what he understood and what you saw depended on what I understood. So, Engelhart became a practitioner of magic, but he incorporated this in his writing. We even see this to this very day with Alan Moore, the writer of V from Vendetta, and Constantine, and all these other comic books, and Grant Morrison, the writer of graphic novels, Doom Patrol, The Invisibles, which the creators of The Matrix, they take parts of Morrison's writings from The Invisibles, incorporate that into the Matrix movies. Morrison is writer of Batman and all these different genres, comic genres, but him and Alan Moore are the top two comic book writers, and both are professed as practitioners of magic, which helped them in their writing. So Engelhart goes in that same vein of incorporating magic in his writing, occult practices, and the use of psychedelic drugs to expand his mind to incorporate his writing. Engelhart reminds a practicing musician. He states, I joined the BOTA, an organization that mails a regular series of lessons in the fundamentals of magic. I have long since finished with the lessons, so I have no connection whatsoever beyond that satisfied customer. I pursued the magic wherever I can find it. So he says, I pursued the magic wherever I can find it. The ones that didn't work, I stopped following. But the ones that did, I stayed with. I liked magic in 1965, and I liked it now. Engelhart and Bruner had the Sorcerer Supreme battle another delusional, power-hungry, maniac god. So Engelhart and Bruner had an actual hatred of the God of the Bible. So they created this comic in 1973 of Dr. Strange battling this delusional, maniac character, God. And they emphasize capital G. So you know what they're referring to. They're referring to Yahweh. They're referring to the one and only Supreme God. Unsurprisingly, Marvel refused to publish the issue because it portrayed the most revered object of Christian faith in God and unflattering matter. Instead of making the changes suggested by Marvel, Englehart and Bruner concocted a fake letter from a make-believe Texas minister claiming to be an avid fan who loved the new direction Strange had taken. So the dude then took a road trip and mailed the letter from Texas, duping Marvel's editors into publishing the God issue they previously refused to print. So here they use deception. They took out the time to write a fake letter to Marvel, and they were able to get this published into the hands of a large group of people and paint God as a bad guy. This is almost like neo-Gnosticism, where you paint the serpent as the deliverer of mankind, as the good guy, but you paint God as the bad guy. You paint the angels that serve Yahweh as more or less devils, and just opposite. You turn things upside down. So here we have both Englehart and Bruner doing this, the war on God. So this has been going on for quite a bit, a long time. The promotion of the hatred of God. And we're starting to see this manifested in the cinema, in movies and other things and all, for the last 20, 25, 30 years, and it's becoming more and more prevalent. Englehart decided the character of the Scarlet Witch, which he ended up taking over. So Englehart took over writing for the Scarlet Witch, and he created the Scarlet Witch. His creation of the Scarlet Witch became more powerful and formidable by living up to her name. His stories reveal Wanda had a strong talent for magic and possibly caused by the demon Chiton, giving her latent magical talent as a child. Under Englehart, Wanda studies spells, casting the manipulation of magical forces under the tutelage of Agatha Harkness, which Agatha is introduced in WandaVision, along with the increasing her control over the effects of her hexes. This allows her to counter, deflect, and block a variety of magical attacks. Englehart explained Wanda's powers by having her learn witchcraft from Agatha Harkness. So we see this transitioning when we watch the Disney series of WandaVision, that she takes on the more persona of being endowed with witchcraft, and she's empowered by this demon, Chiton. The magical abilities Wanda's hex spheres have seen magical in effect, and some have assumed that she was a true sorceress. She also has the potential to wield powerful magic. The potential was implanted by the demon Chiton when Wanda was born, but she only recently sought out her magical instruction. So when you're watching WandaVision, there's a part where Agatha tells her that the chaos magic was enforged in her. This is making reference to that. So eventually what you may end up seeing is her going back to Agatha to be mentored by Agatha in the craft of witchcraft. Wanda has an intuitive sense of a mystical events and has had a cognitive dreams and has detected the mystical impressions left upon an object by its formal user, and has taught mirror weather control magic to teenage students, and has at least twice used magical ceremonies to communicate with the spirits in other dimensions. So this is practice of necromancy, which Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. Makes reference to the treat each of these abilities as developed power, the stunt that operates at the rank equal to Wanda's psyche. The talents Wanda has is magical background and occult lore. So here we see that Wanda's character becomes more involved in occult practices. Now, let's look at the god who, or this demon that empowers Wanda, where she receives this chaos magic. Chthon is an archetypical class one demon, one of the elder gods created billions of years from the Demiurge, which the Demiurge is a derogative term. When you look at Gnosticism, it's talking about Yahweh, it's talking about the one true living God, but it points out that really Sophia is a good one. She's the actual creator, created the Demiurge, but he's an ignorant God that thinks he's the one and only God. And it paints God as a bad, evil God. So this is what it's making reference to. This life force of Earth's biosphere shaping the early development of Earth. So Chthon is immensely powerful supervillain from Marvel Comics. He is a member of the Elder Gods and a cosmic tier villain comparable to both a god and a demon. Chthon is known as one of the most powerful dark magicians in Marvel. He is the creator of the Darkhold, a magic text so great is rumored to contain almost limitless dark magic within its twisted text. He's known as the god of chaos. So Satan is known also too as the god of chaos, when in reference Leviathan, which is a reference to Satan. Leviathan is seen as a creature of chaos. When we look at Isaiah chapter 27 verse 1, it calls him a twisted serpent, which agent of chaos. So Chthon is the creator of the magical text Darkhold. You see this in Doctor Strange. The first Doctor Strange, there was a missing book of one of the Darkhold books was missing. But then when you fast forward, which we'll soon look at on WandaVision, we see the book pops up in the basement of where Agatha Harkness is residing, and she's battling Wanda. She sets up these rooms to kind of control Wanda's powers and bring it under submission. But she has the Darkhold book, which Wanda ends up taking possession of this book. So WandaVision introduced the Scarlet Witch and chaos magic. So we see towards the last couple of episodes of WandaVision introduced. So as eventually happened in the comics and the MCU, is now introducing some interesting twists to explain the incredible abilities Wanda possesses. Agatha Harkness, obsessed with Wanda's powers, dives deep into her past and her psyche to uncover their source. Eventually, she learns the secret of chaos magic and officially dubs Wanda the Scarlet Witch. The musicians acknowledge the desire. This is defining chaos magic. So the musicians acknowledge the desire. He lists the appropriate symbols and arranges them into an easily visualized glyph. Using any of the Gnostic techniques, he refines the sigil and then by force of will hurls into his subconscious from where the sigil can begin to work uncumberly by the desires. So we see comic book authors and icons of Batman and Superman and Invisibles and Doom Patrol. Grant Morrison uses chaos magic, and he's known as a chaos musician. The Scarlet Witch, she takes hold of the Darkhold. So the Darkhold book is also known as the Book of Sins. That's an interesting title to be known as the Book of Sins. The Book of Spells or the Book of the Damned. It's an ancient book of spells, unspeakable power. The book is made of dark matter from the dark dimensions. The Darkhold was created in Hell Dimension and was made of dark matter and was made in early days of bookmaking with the peculiar elements such as the metal and stones, and the books uncovered, also feathered obscure illustration of the Yggdrasils as a higher level of dark magic power totem. It was said to contain infinite knowledge and had a full chapter dedicated to the myth of the Scarlet Witch. So we see at the very end of the series of WandaVision, she is walking around, but also too, you see her astral projecting and she's studying, she's turning the pages and you see all the sigils and everything. So it becomes more dark and occult that she's studying, this Darkhold book, which is a book of spells, which will lead into to Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness. You'll see more and more of this occult practices and occult symbolism and spells take place, which will be promoted in this movie. The use of sigils by Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch. So a sigil is a type of symbol used in magic. The term is usually referred to the type of pictorial signature of an angel or other entity in modern uses, especially in the context of chaos magic. Sigils refers to a symbiotic or symbolic representation of the practitioner's desires outcome. In medieval ceremonial magic, the term sigil was commonly used to refer to occult signs which represented various angels and demons which the magician might summon. Here we see with Dr. Strange's sigil here. The word sigil has a long history in Western magic. The members of the Golden Dawn were perfectly familiar with it, combining letters and the colors and attributions. And there's Cynthius, thou mayest build a talismanic image of force. The sigil shall then serve thee for the tracing of the current, which shall call into action a certain elemental force, which is an elemental spirit, and it was used in making a talisman. The sigil was like a signature or a sign of occult entity. Here we see runes. This was in WandaVision. She learns the master occult practices in runes. According to the sagas, runic inscriptions held magical powers with the aid of inscriptions. You can predict the future, protect a person against misfortune, imbue objects with different qualities, or you can write down conjurations, curses, and spells. We see that both in WandaVision and Doctor Strange No Way Home, Doctor Strange and Peter Parker, they used runes, which was Kulf Call, which was a spell to erase someone's memories. Runes were also used by the Nazi party. Hitler and his Nazi party were very much heavily into the cult and utilized runes also too. Very interesting that the Scarlet Witch is called Scarlet, but I find it ironic that we look at the Whore of Babylon is dressed in scarlet. And let's read that scripture, Revelation chapter 17, verse 4-5. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And up on her forehead was written the name Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. So here's a representation of the Scarlet Witch. The Whore of Babylon is arrayed in the color scarlet, and she's riding on a beast. And if we go back, Nimrod's wife Semiramis was the founder, and Nimrod and his wife Semiramis was the founder of the Mystery Babylonian religions, which had a heavy presence of magic and occult practices that goes all the way back to ancient Babylon. So we see the Scarlet Witch is a symbol of that. We see in the latest Comics now. I believe back in 2018, Doctor Strange has now been elevated as the god of magic. Doctor Stephen Strange is now the god of magic. Comic book readers, now that Doctor Strange is already one of the most formidable characters in the Marvel Universe, but in Doctor Strange number 383, the Master of Mystic Arts just received another massive upgrade, leaving little doubt in the minds of fans that even Doctor Strange can be the Sorcerer Supreme. He's potentially Marvel's most powerful hero. He d defeated when he was defeated by Loki in previous comic book, I believe it was 381. Strange travels to Asgard, and he's empowered by this mystical or this mythical tree there in Asgard. The tree transfers so much power into Strange's body that the sorcerer was overwhelmed with magical energy. According to Strange, he is now more magic than he's ever known, and now he's calling himself a god of magic. Strange claims that he is not even a mortal anymore. At the end of the comic, Strange declares that he is going to get his cloak back. So now he's the god of magic. Where does this come from? Well, it's the ancient lie that the serpent told Eve in the Garden of Eden. When we look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." We see Aleister Crowley. That Aleister Crowley states that he states the serpent, Satan, is known as it's not the enemy of man, but he is made as gods of our race, knowing good and evil. He bade to know thyself and teach initiation. So here we see that Crowley builds upon this ancient lie that Satan, sure, the serpent, and this builds on Gnosticism also too, that the serpent came to deliver mankind, to give them knowledge and wisdom, esoteric knowledge and wisdom, and that the God of the Bible is bad, but he says he made us gods. So this is a lie from the pit. And this is one of the messages that the Antichrist is going to present. I'm God, I'm the ultimate God. You all can evolve into a God, and he's going to have people who worship him to take the mark of the beast. So the end game is preparing mankind for the two beasts that will deceive the whole earth. We read, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. This is talking about the son of perdition. When we look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 11 through 14, this is the scripture that talks about the two beasts, which would be what we call the Antichrist and the false prophet. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon, and he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and live. So you're looking at the Scarlet Witch and Doctor Strange and the power that they wield and all. This is prepping people and conditioning people when this lying signs and wonders start occurring. They're like, oh, but they're being it's used as deception. Bottom line, we win at the end, but the Bible talks about Daniel chapter 1, verse 20. It says, and in all manners of wisdom, this is talking about Daniel and his three friends, which we know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were down in Babylon. They didn't partake in eating from the king's table, all that pagan food and other things and all, and wisdom. But the Holy Spirit, the Most High God, Yahweh, empowered them. It says, in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the physicians and astrologers who were in all of his realm. So then young people who are looking at Marvel and being impressed and start reading his comics, and you're starting to feel like you're being led down a road of wanting to starting to practice occult practices to feel empowered. You listen to people like Grant Morrison saying that magic works. It doesn't work. End result, when you live for Jesus Christ and you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, that is the greatest power of all. Because when we look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Keep this in mind. Don't get duped into going watching this movie on May 6th if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, I strongly urge you to come to the faith and knowing that you're being led down a path that this is being used, this movies and other movies. And when you're reading these comics and you're reading books like Harry Potter and all, it's leading you astray. It's leading you down to a path of eternal damnation. God bless.